Blog Talk Radio.
Here I am.
الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين. Yes, that's right, y'all. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, God, the one worthy of all praise, the only one worthy of all praise. And yes, the Lord of all of mankind and jinn. Alhamdulillah, in the name of Allah, we are here tonight, and I'm so grateful. Once again, here we are on a Tuesday night, Point of Impact. Yeah, we're doing our thing. This is January the 18th, and we here, we rocking again. Much love to my baby boy, my brother, Jay Sean. I love you, man. Thanks for always being on point, you know what I'm saying, and getting this show rocking. And we doing what we do tonight. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, if you've seen the flyer, we got a beautiful brother coming on tonight. And his name is Azeem Majid. And this brother is someone that I really, really am grateful to have on my show, as I'm grateful for all of my guests. And this is a young man who I met when he first came home, and I was so grateful to meet him. He's a beautiful brother in faith, and I'm really, really grateful that you all are going to meet him tonight and know some of the fabulous things that he's doing in our community. Tina, can you please place the number up for the people to be able to dial in? If you're on Facebook and you're visualizing the visual of the interview, you can please, so that you get the full content of the interview and the audio of the interview, because you won't be able to see the interviewee, the brother we're interviewing. You won't be able to see him, nor will you be able to hear him unless you call in at 563-999-3718. That's 563-999-3718. So call in, and if you want to speak at any time, just press 1. Jay Sean will definitely click you in, okay? So we got a wonderful show tonight. It's been very cold lately. Thank you, babe. It's been very cold lately, and people, you know, been getting sick, you know what I'm saying, lately with the COVID. And but there's been a lot of good, positive stories about people, you know, healing themselves with natural herbs and things of that nature. Y'all know what I go through with my bronchitis. My congestion. And we, you know, and it's wonderful. My family is, and also has had, you know, issues of health. And lately, even I've been battling, as you know, last week I lost my voice. And today I'm still battling with that because of the, you know, I got sinus problems and I got bronchitis. So the weather with the fluctuation of cold and then warm and then cold and warm is congesting me and affecting me, you know. But I'm good. I'm healthy, and I'm definitely taking care of myself. Alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah. Tonight's show is a special show because we're going to be talking to a young man who was in his youth, in his young age when he got, you know, when he was incarcerated. But listen, recently I had two incidents with young people, okay, with young men who, this bravado, this machoism of, you know, I'm a killer. You know, everybody's a killer, and they killed nothing. But because of this aggressive behavior that is set in our community, and due to the fact that a lot of our young men are not really knowing how not to allow their emotions to rise above their thinking, because, you know, we've been raised, and I identify with this, because we've been raised with women, by women, cultivated by women, with women. A lot of our fathers are not in the home. They're incarcerated. They're out trying to work. They're out trying to live life, right? And in the American African home, there's not very many father examples in the home. It may be some outside of the home, and that's not always, you know, prevalent and there for us to attach ourselves to. And a lot of our young men today are really experiencing this. And they're growing up, you know what I'm saying, being very emotional and not having a settlement of their emotion and allowing their emotions to overtake them. And I believe that is one of the reasons why we're having such a rash of our youth killing each other. We've had a heightened in domestic violence in our communities where our young men. Oh, my sis, look, Latina's here with us tonight, y'all. My sis, little sis with us, alhamdulillah, you know. But, and I believe that a lot of that is generally due to the fact that these young men are being cultivated by the beautiful women who are doing wonderful jobs. But, you know, these men are not learning from men how to be men. They're learning from women. You see what I'm saying? And they're taking on these traits. And this is what I observe, and this is what I see. And I had two incidents recently. The other day, I had a young man pull a gun out of me, pull a gun out. He didn't point it at me, now he just pulled a gun out, let me know he had one, okay, for what reason. And then this morning, I had a young man, you know, call my house and disrespectfully talk to me. I'm talking about an 18-year-old young man. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm not in any way threatened by it. If anything, I'm more concerned now, and I'm more eager to do more work in our community. And one of the things that Community of United Focus is now aimed at, we're aimed at helping to redevelop and to help build young, eager men who will become our leaders, who will become our mentors, who will become our established scholars in our community. And that's what we're working towards, along with aiding women who need sanctuary and home with organization Women Aiding Women. And we're doing what we can, you know, along with Tomorrow's Change and also along with Isaac Ingredients. And, you know, we're just doing a lot of work in a community, along with Authentically Me, along with Eden Barbershop, Barber Lounge. We're out here. We're out here. We're doing the work. So we're striving now to really look at how we can aid and be a benefit to our young men, because our young men and our women are dying now at massive rates, but our young men are the ones who are dying, pulling these triggers, killing one another, not just physically, in the physical aspect, but also through, you know what I'm saying, the modern day slavery of enslavement of debt peonage that the system today applies to incarcerating young African American men. So, you know, we have a lot of work in our community. Our sons need male figures. They need strong men figures. I don't want to say male figures, because anybody could be, because you're male doesn't mean you're being a man, or you're being strong in the influence of a man. But, you know, it's necessary that we have strong men figures for these young men to take from. And when I say strong, I don't mean wealthy and, the most esteemed. Nah, I'm talking about men who are responsible, hardworking, who are out there governing their lives, who are God-fearing, first and foremost, all right, who are out there treating the women like they're supposed to be treated, treating the families how they're supposed to be treated, huh? You know, caring for their children. I just got a call from one of my sons, Amaru, and I was grateful that I had a chance to talk to him for a second. You know, I love Amaru. He impressed me so much today because he woke up late for school, and he reached out to try to get a ride. He couldn't get a ride, and he jumped on the bus and went to school. He went to school in Ghent, and he's down in Ocean View. But yet he got on that bus, and he got to school, and I'm so proud of him because he didn't make excuses. He didn't, you know, like I used to do. He didn't do that. You know, he stepped up, and he was like, yo, I'm getting to school, and I'm proud of him. And, you know, to me, that's a sign of him maturing and recognizing that he has responsibilities and priorities to himself that he has to fulfill in order to be of any way in prioritizing in the lives of the people he loves. So tonight, like I said, you know, I think this show will emphasize those issues too. You know, I think our guest tonight will directly talk about these important issues, you know, about helping to aid our young men. And I really look forward to the show tonight. Hey, look, y'all, I keep telling y'all, y'all not buying this book, man. The book is here, man. Point of Impact. Point of Impact. POI. Prisoners of Incarceration. Excuse me. Written by yours truly. Yours dearly. Huh? Derek Hansford. Derek L. Hansford. I ain't giving y'all all of it. Derek L. Hansford, a.k.a. D.N., a.k.a. Malai, a.k.a. Minhaj, Abdul Mahdi Mujahid Minhaj, okay, Ibn Hansford. That's right. Y'all come and get this book, man, $15. You know, you can go log on to lulu.com, and get your copy, you know what I'm saying? Or you can just DM me, and I'll send you a copy, you know what I mean? Or, you know what I'm saying? And don't forget, too, y'all, like, I appreciate those who have extended themselves to aid us. But don't forget, man, that as a community, we can do more for one another. And listen, we need donations to continue to feed people, to continue to try to get people warm clothing. We need donations. You know, we need donations. So if you have a dollar, please, you know, shoot it at us so that we can utilize it for something that is going to benefit somebody. And don't understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the one who gives it for the sake of Allah, Allah rewards him threefold. Threefold. You know what I'm saying? Threefold. Okay. And this is the fact. I got you, baby girl. My little sis just asked me, I'm going to do that. I'm going to send you a book. I will send you a book, baby girl. Okay? And this is the real deal. Like, you know, we are not fooling around. We're not fooling around. You want to come out here to Virginia, in Norfolk, Virginia Beach, and see the work we're doing every single day. We don't take a break. We'll take a break publicly all day long. There's some things y'all don't see because I'm not recording everything that I go around and I do. You know what I'm saying? It's just some things that we do as an organization. We try to, you know, make record of it so that it's available to you so you can see it, you can observe it, and you can know what we're doing. Okay? Hold on, everyone. I don't know who this is. Hold on one second. And alhamdulillah, right now, you know what I'm saying, we are doing the very best we can to, you know, help people in the community. I apologize. I had to see who that was, and I apologize for that. But, you know, things are tough, and we're just striving to make a difference. We're striving to help people. We're striving to, make a change, man, in order that somebody might, you know, do something different in their life, you know, or have an opportunity in their life. You know, that's all we're doing. We're just working to try to do something better. So, you know what I mean? We can use your support. We can use your helping hand, okay? We're not, you know, I mean, I'm not out here begging. I'm just telling you, you know, and sadly, you know, a lot of times we do, it's coming right from our pockets, and some of the beautiful organizations that help us, and some of the people that help us. I like to give mad love to the brother Bashir, who helps out a lot, who gets us food and things like this, to Sister Sahira, who from ODU, Sister Sadiqa from ODU, all of these people who help us out, Sister Nicole Sanders, Sister Leticia Reddick, Sister Natalie, Salama, Sister Taliba, all of these people who help us out, we are so dearly grateful and in debt to you, and we thank you so much for all that you do. To my main man, B. Newsom. You know what I'm saying? Who else? To Mr. Bilal Muhammad, who has helped. To Brother David Muhammad in the lodge. brother David Muhammad, who's got the barbershop up there in Ocean View. We thank you so much for your assistance and your help. You know what I'm saying? We deeply appreciate you. And we have nothing but love for you. And we are very grateful for all that you do for us and support us. So, you know, we ain't doing it on our own. We ain't doing it. But most importantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us to do the work that we're doing. And, hey, man, we're getting out there and we're doing Sister Asal, time behind the scenes. All these Sister Jody, all these beautiful people who are assisting in the efforts to help other people. We thank you so much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all, and may He guide you all upon the straight path, as may He guide me and you upon the straight path. I mean, okay? So, you know, like I said, and once again, before we, our guest is going to come on tonight, I want to just give a special thanks to Ian and Barber Lounge, my brother Mikael. I love you for always being there and support us and aid us. And my brother Emmanuel Asu, thank you so much. My brothers are dear men. I love them. I appreciate them. They are truly men of the community and helping to bring about new structure and new beginning. I deeply appreciate them. And authentically me, you know, it's beautiful to have that support. To my brother E.T., you know what I'm saying? Hybrid, thank you, man. Thank you so much. And my man Kermit, I love you, brother. We love you, brother. Thank you so much for always being there to support. I hope you get better. And to my man Blue. Blue, we love you for always stepping up. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I'm just giving it real, you know. I'm so thankful. And I like to thank those who support us online, Sister Asia, Sister Matula, my sister Latina, you know, all these people who, Miss D, all the people, man, that support us, we thank you so much. And I could go on forever because there's so many people to thank, so many people. And this is why I make dua, and I ask Allah to guide us, me and you, upon the straight path. I mean, okay. Well, we got our guest about to come up, I think in about 2 minutes here, you know, at 7:25, we're expecting them to tune in. And listen, if you'd like to donate anything, please send it to Cash App, $ M as in Mary, U, B as in boy, D as in Derek, EE5. Tina, can you put that up? Can you put the Cash App up for people who would like to donate? That's $ MUB, M as in Mary, U, B as in boy, D as in dog, EE5. Okay? We deeply would appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? And we thank you so much, you know, in anything that you can contribute and aid us in doing what we're doing for the community. All right? So that's what we're going to do. All right. Now, tonight's show is really all about what we've always talked about. And once again, breaking that myth, because, you know, they say 53% of American African men return back to prison after being released after 2 years. This is what they say. Well, majority of the guests we've had on the show have been home for far longer than 2 years. And you see the work, and you see the good deeds, and you see the beautiful things that they're doing in our community, right? So we here to destroy that so-called survey, that so-called statistic of facts, right? And we breaking that down, right? We showing and proving that that's, I ain't going to say, that's bottle falsehood. Yeah, I know y'all know. I'm going to say that word, right? No, we ain't doing that. We don't do that. We don't go there. But you know what I mean? So, hey, you know, that's what it is, man, and we here tonight. And so, you know, we're going to do our thing, and that's how we coming in. I don't see, our guest hasn't showed up at 7:25, so we normally have our guests come on around this time, and looking forward to call on it. Jason, oh, there we go. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Are you there, Aku?
What? نعم وعليك السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله مباد الحمد لله. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to Azim Majid. الحمد لله, beautiful brother. I'm so grateful to have you here. How you feeling tonight?
MashaAllah, I'm wonderful, actually, and it's a pleasure to be here. MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Man, you know, MashaAllah means that Allah has graced us with this, you know, it's will, Allah's will that we're here right now doing whatever it is we're doing. Alhamdulillah, thank you. Listen, brother, you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Azim Majid. I'm a returning citizen. After serving 26 years in the Virginia Department of Corrections, I was originally sentenced to 2 consecutive life without parole sentences plus 29 years at the age of 17.
Excuse me. Can you repeat that slowly again? Can you repeat that?
Yes, now. At the age of 17, I was sentenced to 2 consecutive life without parole sentences plus 29 years.
Wow.
So, yes. Yes. SubhanAllah. So, I was a juvenile offender when I, entered the Virginia Department of Corrections. And, fortunately, when I entered, I was able to, I entered into the religion of Islam. And, Islam, aided and assisted me in becoming a better version of myself. And, I educated myself and reformed myself, rehabilitated myself, redeemed myself. And, I was fortunate, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have wonderful individuals who, came to my aid and assisted me in, my battle for my freedom. Wonderful. Organizations, such as, the Campaign for the Fair Sentencing of Youth, Caitlin Harbor, Gerald Pastor, L.A. Piper, Professor Julie McConnell or the University of Richmond School of Law, the Children's Defense Clinic, and so many other wonderful individuals. And I was able to, fight and have, my life without parole sentences vacated by the federal court. And, I went back for re-sentencing. Yes, I went back for re-sentencing and, came out with a 25-year numerical sentence. And, and also I eventually became eligible for parole due to a bill that Governor Northam signed into law, which was HB 35, which is a bill that allowed juvenile offenders to be eligible for parole after serving 20 years of a sentence. And as I said, I served a total of 26 years. And after my sentence was vacated, after I was re-sentenced, I went up for parole. After I became eligible for parole and made first parole, and now I'm a returning citizen. I'm out here. I'm successful. I'm doing wonderful things, and I'm enjoying my freedom and, trying to leave my mark on the earth.
You are doing wonderful things, brother. And before we begin, I got to say this, brother. I have a praiseworthy hasid concerning you. You have the most beautiful smile, brother. Allah is Akbar, man. Allah bless you, brother, with a smile that just, hey, bro, you light up everybody with that smile, man. I don't know if people listen. If you once you get to meet this brother, man, his warmth is so genuine. It's beautiful. Now, one of the things I wanted to, because we had a young man on the show. His name is Zaid Al-Sali. He also was in South Carolina. He was incarcerated at the age of 17. Like, to mothers or parents or young men who may be listening right now, what kind of enlightenment or what kind of heedment would you give to them to, deter or to be aware of with it concerning their children or themselves at 17 years old, 16 years old?
I mean, and you're saying what I would say to the parents? What I would say to the parents or the children?
To the to the parents or the children? You know, what would you say to the people to for them to be aware of, to not fall into these traps, you know, or to, you know, what would you say to them? Like, what would you, you know, warn them of?
I would say that what I would say is a simple statement that's very profound. It's one of those statements which is the shortest statement with the broadest meaning, which I say in every single talk that I give, and that statement is nothing changes if nothing changes. So what I mean by that is if you want to keep your spot out here in society, then don't change. And what I mean by that is most of us, we don't grow up engaging in criminal behavior. This is something that is learned, right? So
that's
once
right.
we learn
that's
these
right.
particular behaviors and we start acting upon that, then the consequences change. Our situations change as a consequence. So this is the,
that's
you know,
right.
the most, it's an easy statement to remember. If you want to keep your spot out in society, right, continue
yes,
being
sir.
A pro-social citizen. If you don't want to keep your spot out in society, then change and become a antisocial individual. And here's what we mean
oh.
by antisocial. We hear this statement, and a lot of people don't understand what it is. Most people think that being antisocial is just standing in a corner, just being by yourself. And in reality, this is not the essence of antisocial behavior and thinking. Antisocial just merely
right, right.
means to be in it means to be in constant conflict with rules, policies, procedures, and authority figures. So
right.
what this
that's
means
right
is up. When we become in conflict with rules, policies, procedures, and authority figures. Now, remember, I'm not just talking about from a secular standpoint. I'm even talking about
right.
from a religious standpoint. Whatever religion
that's
you
right,
follow,
that's right.
your religious text
that's
teaches
right.
that. Your religious text teaches you that if you change your behavior, then a reward change that you receive as a consequence. So meaning,
that's right.
Allah says in the Quran, and I don't want to get too religious, but he says, Allah says in the Quran, he says, never would he change a grace that he bestows upon a people until they first change it themselves. And what he means
that's
by
right.
that is, Allah gave us this blessing, this grace of freedom. So the moment
right.
we start misabusing or abusing, excuse me, that particular blessing, then he take it away
that's
from
right.
us. So never will
that's
he
right.
change the grace that he bestowed upon a people until they change it themselves. So if we become antisocial individuals and become, you know, in constant conflict with rules, policies, procedures, and authority figures, and we act upon that, right, then we lose our spot out here in society. So this is why I always say this particular statement, nothing changes if nothing changes. And the same thing with me, my spot was taken out here in society. I lost it. I forfeited my right to play in this game of life out here, you know, in society. Once I started violating, you know, the rules, and I became antisocial. But I got my spot back when I changed. Nothing changes
that's
if
right.
nothing changes. When I started letting go of the antisocial thinking and behavior, and I stopped being in constant conflict with rules, policies, procedures, and authority figures, then I got my spot
that's
back
right.
out here in society as a consequence. So in no way am I saying that, yes, I want to make one last point on that.
No,
but in no way am
no,
in no way am I saying, go ahead.
No, I believe, go
yeah,
ahead. No way that you're saying what, bro? Go ahead.
In no way am I saying that if we take issue with a rule, a policy, a procedure, or authority figure, that we can't challenge it. What I'm saying is that there is a pro-social way to challenge it.
Come on, bro.
Right?
That's right.
You understand
come on
what I'm saying?
Now. Come on,
there's
now.
A correct way to
yes,
challenge it. So let's say
yes, sir,
if
yes,
we get upset because we get upset with the authority figure, we don't pick up a gun and just shoot that person simply
that's
because
right.
we are upset. That's an antisocial way to like challenge that authority figure, right?
Come
so
on,
there's
dude.
Ways we
come
can file
now.
Complaints. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh,
there's so
God.
Many different ways that
yes.
we can challenge it so that we can't lose our spot out here in society as a consequence. And this is the message that I'm trying to give to the people. Nothing changes if nothing changes. You know, there's correct ways that we can challenge,
you know,
situations and circumstances
you know,
that we take issue with.
You know, I support that in saying also, and I have a saying where I say the struggle itself must be won before the war against another can begin. Because,
you know,
people don't understand, you know, and I also mention to people a lot of times, people who love you, they don't like to see you change. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
people who love you, They don't want to see you change. You know, people who love you for the good, your mother, your parents, they raise you, they see the good man that you are. They don't want to see you change to a tyrant. They don't want to see you change to a criminal-minded individual. They don't want to see you change to a person who is suppressive and oppressive upon people, you know, with violence and aggressive behavior. Nah, they want to see you continue to be prosperous and loving and caring and succeeding in life, you know. And people and people who strive with you and love you in the evil that you do, they don't want to see you change to practicing upright in a good life. They don't want to see that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was very – and Allah says that in that was one verse, but it also says in verse 13, ayat 11, Allah does not change the condition of a people till they first change the condition within themselves. And the explanation of that is, as the scholars have said, that if you are doing good work, if you're doing what is pleasing, and then you revert from doing that which is pleasing to doing that which is displeasing, Allah will leave you in that condition. He will leave you in that condition. So you're absolutely right. And I thought your expression of it was outstanding, brother. Thank you so much. That was very, very plain and direct, and I really appreciated that message. When you were incarcerated at the age of 17, when did the reality of your conflicting behavior and needing to change that, when did it take you down that road? What took place to move you? I like to call that the point of impact. What point of impact that caused you in that moment to move you towards change in your life?
Yeah, what I hear you saying is like, what was that aha moment? Actually, that aha moment for me, it was early on in my bid during my incarceration. Once I realized that I deserved better than prison and that prison didn't deserve me, that was that moment.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
So prison isn't a place that I wanted to be. Even though I was out of society moving about recklessly and, you know, dealing with issues of anger, I didn't want to, like, desire to come to prison. You know?
That's right.
So
that's right.
I was just, you know, as I said, I was socialized by my environment coming up, right? And I learned behaviors that I didn't even know that I was learning them. And I was acting upon what I knew, right? So, but
I really didn't
understand how to be pro-social. So it's another statement that live by that goes, Fafi du sha'i la yu'ati. This is the Arabic proverbial saying, you know, that means one who is deprived of a thing cannot give that thing. And I'm going to keep it, you know, 100% real with you, Aki. It was when I entered into the religion of Islam, when I started receiving, you know, guidance of substance, right? And I realized that I had something to give, you know? So I had that aha moment early on during my incarceration. It didn't take me long throughout my journey, you know, in the Virginia Department of Corrections to realize that this wasn't the life that I didn't want to live. I mean, that I wanted to live.
That's right.
Right?
So
it was early on in my incarceration when I had that aha moment.
Let me enlighten the people who are joining us. We want to give greetings of peace to Sister Kathy Rodriguez and Brother Kason Glover. Thank you for joining us tonight. If you're live on Facebook observing the interview, please go to 563-999-3718. That's 563-999-3718. And please give your ear to this wonderful enlightenment conversation of an interview we're having with the Brother Azeem Majid. Okay, please join us at 563-999-3718. Tina, can you please place that number back up for the people? And if you'd like to speak, please just press 1. That was wonderfully, again, said. When I met you, the one thing that struck me the most was that you had this energy. Because, you know, we went and we did the event with the kids, right? And I instantly saw your impact upon the young men, these little kids that was on that basketball when you started speaking to them. Why is that important to you, man? Why is that important to you to impact the young people of our community today?
It's a lot of reasons. But for one, I know that we're going to need the youth to take care of us when we get older. And it's responsible. I mean, we're responsible for actually educating them. I live my life today that try to be the type of people to the youth or the type of person to the youth that I needed when I was their age.
Right.
And I feel like, literally, and I want you to listen closely to what I'm about to say.
No.
I feel like, I believe, excuse me, that if I don't tell my story to the youth and allow them to benefit from it, then every single thing that I went through for 26 years, the pain and struggle and adversity that I suffered and endured, it would have been in vain. So the only way to give my pain purpose is to share my story with the youth. The only way to give my struggle purpose is to share my struggle with the youth. So this is why it's important to me.
That's right. May Allah spend what the Allah, may Allah, the one who is to be glorified and free of all imperfections, may he reward you, brother. I it's beautiful, bro. Today there's a lot of violence taking place with our youth, with our young men. To mothers and fathers who are out there struggling to direct their children, is there any advice that you can give them that may, you know, you feel that may be needed? Is there anything, any advice that you may give them?
Just to listen. And a lot of times when I say listen to the children, listen to the youth, I'm not specifically talking about what's being said, but listen to what's not said. See, it's easy to listen to words that are coming out of a person's mouth, but you have to listen to what your children is not saying. And this is a
piece
of advice that I believe that you know the parents can benefit from. Secondly, I would say, and this may be a controversial statement, but I would say this: stop trying to be your child's friend. See,
that's right.
A mother, a father, this is the highest status that you can have in your child's life. When you reduce yourself to the level of a friend, you're reducing your status, your place in that child's life. So you can do some of the same things that a friend do, but from the standpoint of high position as a mother or a father. So stop reducing yourselves and trying to be like your child's friend or your children's friend out in the street. So, and I know a lot of parents, they have good intentions when they do that, but it's having a, you know, an adverse effect. So you should never want your child to look at you like a friend, right? See, because a lot of times we don't even listen to our friends. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
We look at our friends
That's
as
right.
equals. This is a reality. Mm-hmm. And nobody could ever mm-hmm. be equal to your mother or father. You know, that's a status mm-hmm. that is unrivaled. So maintain, don't reduce your own status in your child's life, because when you do that, you reduce the way or decrease the way that your child see you and your value in their life. And thirdly,
That's right.
what I want to say is this. You spoke earlier about parents not wanting their child to change. See, but that only doesn't apply in a good way, but it can apply in a bad way. So let's
That's
say
right.
your child changed. Let's say the child changed for the worse, right? And you see they got the characteristics of the streets and, you know, characteristics that lead either to a grave or, you know, to a prison cell. But yet, we continue to advise this child to change, let go of this antisocial behavior and so on and so forth. What I've witnessed is that sometimes we would encourage our children to change, but when they change, we criticize them for the very change that we inspired.
Wow. Come on, brother.
You feel me? Yes. This is what we do, and that is dangerous.
Absolutely.
And now your child is in the world feeling lonely. Your child is in the world is feeling depressed. And as a consequence, you know, some of them, they revert back to that same antisocial behavior. And how do we criticize them for the change that we inspired? We start telling them, and I say this all the time. You hear this in many of my talks. We tell them, like, you're changing up. The friends tell them this. The parents tell them this. And as a consequence, you know, the child feel alienated. You know, so
That's right.
we would tell the child something like, you think that you're better than someone else? No. How does the child think that they're better than someone else because they evolved into a better version of themselves and you are the one that inspired that very change?
That's right.
We should encourage our children to speak the truth and not fear the blame of the blamers, even if the truth that they're speaking is against us.
That's right.
So those are just some of the gems that I have to give. There's so much that I could say on that topic, you know, but those are three points and three, you know, pieces of advice, sincere, selfless, and I see how that I would give to the parents.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And given that, Nasia, is something that you just did just now, giving that advice is something that you just did just now. And I welcome it, brother. I mean, you know, it's reality. Truth kicks the brains. I say it all the time. Truth kicks the brains out of falsehood, man. We can sit here all day and try to mask things up. Well, you know, I say this because I do this. And, you know, I have to tell people a lot of times, like, you know, be careful of how you criticize your children. Be careful of how you are critical upon your children, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, we as people, sometimes we got to learn things. We don't like the wisdom. We need to go through the experience. You know what I mean? And that's the sad thing, because you know, as parents, sometimes we can be very egotistical and arrogant. You know what I mean? Well, you're telling me how to raise my child. This is my child. You know, I know what's best. Okay. Well, you know, so be it. But now you've been going. You're here in Virginia, but you've been putting in some work, brother. You've been in places. Like, where you been out there putting this work in at? You've been in a couple of places, haven't you?
Yeah, I try to, you know, when I'm called, I respond. You know, I haven't spoke at various different places since I was out. You know, you just spoke of one when I was at the event with you here in Norfolk. When I first, you know, when I was first released, I actually spoke twice in Norfolk, you know, during my first week out. I've spoke at the University of Richmond, you know, School of Law. Let me see. I spoke at, you know, I went to Tennessee, Kingsport, Tennessee. I spoke at Coral Cox Academy. I spoke twice in Johnson City, Tennessee, at the Johnson City Detention Home.
Okay.
I'm going to be, yes, you know, so whenever I'm called, you know, wherever I'm called, I try to respond to the call and, you know, effect positive change wherever, you know, I'm needed. You know, I feel like this is my mission, this is my duty, you know, so when I'm asked, I try to, you know, respond.
Okay, brother. And I want to congratulate you. You know, you're doing wonderful things, man, and I just want to congratulate you and thank you again for always being assertive in our community, brother, and thank you so much for reaching out to our children and our youth. Is there any final words that you would like to leave our audience with tonight?
Pretty much, final words, I would say that we have to all remember that in order to make a change, in order to make a difference, it's going to take the whole of, you know, of us all. Everybody have an individual obligation to give back to the community. And whenever we join our voices together to affect positive change, and join our, you know, voices together, you know, in the areas of criminal justice reform and juvenile justice reform and, you know, prison reform, then, you know, we're stronger. So this is my message today. Just remember that together we're stronger.
Okay. Once again, I truly, I'm regretting that we're cutting the show to 8 o'clock tonight because I'm not feeling too well. Man, you are such a powerful speaker, and I truly want to express my gratitude. At this moment, I really would like people to call in. If anyone has a question for the brother Azeem Majeed, please call in right now and press 1, or if you haven't called in, at 563-999-3719, please do and press 1, and you can ask Brother Majeed any questions that you would like, or even if you would like to add on to anything that was said and spoken tonight, do so. And if you would just like to get that thought off, you just want to free that thought, you know what I'm saying, share it with us, let us know what your thought was and free that thought, and you have the opportunity to do that right now. We're here, we're willing to listen, and we're willing to take any questions that may come. Jay Sean, we got anybody on that board that would like to speak?
Not yet. We have numbers in here, but nobody pressed one yet.
And, as I always tell everyone, I think, that it's very important for me, and just listening to the brother Azeem as I see him putting in that work. Brother Azeem, you only been home 4 months, right?
4 months, absolutely. I was released from the Virginia Department of Corrections on September the 10th.
4 months, this man been grinding, y'all. And grinding. So, you know what I'm saying? This is what we need out in our community. And I just always tell you, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till the end of the week or the beginning of the month. Or, listen, take the time to do something beneficial in your life today, right now. You know what I'm saying? That will benefit you in this life and in the hereafter. That will benefit your family. That will benefit your community right now. Right now. You know, it's no need in prolonging, procrastinating, and things that you want to bring about and good in your life, man, because it's only going to happen by you actualizing it and putting it into effect, okay? Having that ammo, having that action, that feeling, that movement, you know, you got to do that. You know what I'm saying? And nobody can do it for you, man. And I think tonight was a direct expression of that. You know what I'm saying? Getting out, doing the work, helping the people. And I love the message that you're giving to our youth. You definitely are a person that I believe is a scholar in that area of speaking to our youth in a manner in which they can perceive because of your own experience. And that is something that you have wisdom and the hikmah to give to the people. And I thank you so much, brother. Is there anybody that has called in? Please give us a call in. We got 5 minutes here. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call in and let us know what's on your mind. What's that thought that you need to get off your mind, man? You know, and let's talk about it, okay? And let us know if you have a question, okay? Just call on in. And how is your family doing, Azeem? How are you enjoying your family?
Yes, it's great. You know, my family is doing wonderful, doing well. You know, I've been, spending time with my family, getting to know everyone, all over again out here in society. You know, it's different after 20-something years, 26 years, everybody has evolved in some form or fashion. So it's like we're just getting to know each other all over again. But I'm enjoying it, I think.
And that's wonderful, man. Look, I want to thank you, brother. Time, I know you're a busy brother, and I appreciate you giving me your time and your attention and giving me, most importantly, the extended words that you spoke tonight on Point of Impact, and you definitely made an impact. Trust me. Mashallah. And I appreciate you. I'm going to let you go. Back to your family, those you love, and thank you for being with us tonight. I look forward to, having you up here again sometime real soon so you can tell us some more of the things that you are achieving out there to help others, because I know you got some programs you're getting ready to try to put down, and I'm looking forward to that sprouting up, brother, okay?
Yeah, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullah, barakatuh, akhi. I love you for the sake of Allah. Bismillah, man. Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah.
You special brother. Assalamu alaikum. And to my audience, I want to tell you all, thank you for supporting us tonight. Please make dua for myself and my family, and please make dua for the brother Azeem, Majid, and his family. And his successes and things that he do. And most importantly, make dua for yourself and your family and those nearest to you. When we say dua, we're talking about a supplication of invocation, okay? Asking God for direct guidance upon these people that you're speaking of, okay? And please just remember, everyone, this is a direct talk podcast. We don't do no formatting. I'm not sitting down trying to write up, brainstorming to write up some specific questions to task the guests with. You know, each one of our guests, they have spoken genuinely from their heart, from their experiences, and from their intentions of bringing about good and how they see that they can bring about good. And if you know someone who is out there who has been through this travel and he is out there or she is out there doing work in the community, being a productive person, or if they're just a person working hard, taking care of their family, you know, and you feel their story can be a story that will definitely have some benefit to the community, please give us a call and introduce us to this individual. We would love to meet him. We would love to know who she or her or he is and allow them to tell their story, okay? My name is Derek L. Hansford, a.k.a. D. Hans, a.k.a. Malai, a.k.a. Abdul Mabdi Mujahid Minhaj Ibn Hansford. And listen, I'm here for you in any way that I can. I want, Jay Sean, you want to give a shout-out real quick, man? Anything you want to say to the people?
I meant to say it before the brother left, but he left too fast. But maybe next time I'll get to say it to him that I know what one of the statements that he made was correct, because I went through a similar situation where with one of my sons that instead of like being like the father figure, I became more like a friend, trying to make up for lost time, and becoming a friend. That it was a big mistake, you know what I mean? Because
yes,
I ended up going into two prison bids, and because while becoming his friend, he tried to emulate my lifestyle and my street style, not far as what I did in the street, but far as the hustling mentality.
Right.
And
right.
It wind up two prison bids, and I don't blame myself, but I take some of the blame for it, for being a more of a friend than a father. You know what I mean? So I mean,
that's
my
right.
man, he was correct with that. Parents out there who still have a chance to turn it around. You're like, all my kids is grown now, so, and I ain't making no more, so.
Well,
but,
I'm going to tell you something.
Anybody else, you know.
Azeem, man, I've been around him for a minute, and I'm going to tell you something. Excuse me. He's a powerful brother, and he speaks real, you know, he speaks a lot of truth in what he's experienced and how he, you know, and what he's learned from his experience, and that's what I love about him. It was such a beautiful content of dialogue that we went through here tonight. And I just hope that everybody benefited from it as I benefited from it. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that he took time to come and join us tonight. You know, so, you know, listen, y'all join us next week, Tuesday night from 7 p.m. until 9. We here. We rocking. We doing what we do. And we're not playing. Direct talk, point of impact. You know what I'm saying? Y'all come and join us. Point of Impact Podcast. That's right. We live and direct talk, talking about real issues, real things. And we want you all to be safe and know that there's no God but Allah. La ilaha illallah. There's no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Keep Allah first and all success will come your way. I mean, in this life as well as the hereafter. Everyone, stay safe. Assalamu alaikum to all my believers and salams to all the people. Everyone, keep your head up. And remember, do something today that's going to benefit you in this life as well as the hereafter. And it's going to benefit your family. And it's going to benefit your community, your locality. Peace.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. Whoa, I think I'm in love again. And here we go again. Don't wanna have another heartbreak, but every time that I see him, we thought she'd take my breath away. Get a grip and start out with a friendship. Cause sailing with a Moby Dick can sink a ship. Thinking with your head before you get a shot of one. I remember all the past lessons that you learned from. A 90 day rule, but we rush it too. In 2 months, we send a text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we layin', stay stable when nature throws us a curve, but love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, yeah, lover, homie, lover, friend, yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
It's been 2 years and we still running. To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works. When there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you save me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you I wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.